Ilunishmo sama. Again. This she is the Ilunishmo sama from Shmuel ben Avram Aryeh Cohen and Chaya Tova Bas Eliezer Mendel HaKohen. It's also dedicated to our soldiers and our support staff, our logistics, the medical staff, all the people of Israel that are going through such terrible times. And before we start, as I'm doing every time I give a shiur this week, just want to start with a chapter of Tehillim. I'll say it. Let me just mute everybody. People can say along if they want. I'll say it and translate it into English. This is Tehillim, chapter 130. She'amalos mimamakim korosicha adonai, a song that should ascend to heaven. From the depths of despair, I call to God. Adonai shimo b'koli tiyena oznecha kashivos l'kol tachnunoi. God, listen to my voice. May your ears be attentive to the voice of our pleas. Emavonos tishmor yo adonai miyamod. O God, if you kept a record of all our sins, who would be able to stand up in front of you? Ki imcha haslicha l'man tivorei. You are the one who forgives. You are the one who should be held in awe. Ki visi adonai kivso nafshi. God, I hope. And kivso nafshi. And my soul hopes for libero hokolti. I wait for your word. I wait for God's word. Nafshi ladoni ladonoi mishamrim laboker. My soul is to turn towards God. All those who await, with all those who await the morning, the end of the conflict, shomrim laboker. We all await it. We all await the morning. Yachal Yisrael el Adonoi ki im Adonoi hachesed v'harbeim ofdus. Israel, trust in God. For kindness is with him, and great redemption comes from him. V'hu yifter es Yisrael mikol avonosof, and he will redeem Israel from all their failings. Okay, on that note, let's pick up. As I mentioned, all my shiurim this week, we're not able to fight. Some of us too old, but we're not able to fight. But we can certainly learn, and we can certainly daven, and that's our job. We are partners with all the soldiers out there. Every word of davening, every word of Torah, and every something I didn't mention yesterday morning, one of the great defenders of the nation of Israel and the soldiers of Israel is not talking Lashon Hara. People should make a special effort not to talk Lashon Hara, to have kavanah when they daven, especially in particular brachas. If you want to know which brachas, I'll send them to you, of the Shemoneh Esrei. And also people should learn as much Torah as they can. That's a great Mogein. It's a Mogein Avraham. It's the shield that protects the people of Israel. Anyway, here we go with the Shir Yechezkel. We're in chapter 13. It's a few weeks now already. But this chapter, chapter 13, is dealing with false prophets. And the nature of false prophets, eventually it will get to the punishment of false prophets. And in the last few verses, we're up to chapter 13, verse 5. And in the last couple of verses, Yechezkel, God and Yechezkel have been describing the false prophets as foxes, clever, sneaky foxes. And here again, in verse 5, the analogy holds true, as the prophet tells us, chapter 13, verse 5, Lo alisem beprotzos. You do not go up into the cracks. V'tigderu goder al beis Yisrael. And you don't build a fence for the house of Israel. Lamod b'milchoma, so that they can stand up in a battle. Bayom Hashem, on the day of God. Now, what exactly is going on here in this verse? So there's two opinions about who this verse is aimed at. And the Abarbanel, he brings both opinions. He says, nearer, it appears to me, Shashualim tomid nichnosim b'mekomos acharonim, that foxes, clever, deceptive, will always enter places that are in ruins, empty places, looking for victims. Kinei lo yavobim komas hamushavim. And they go into these places, into places that are in ruins, because looking for victims, because generally places that have been destroyed or in the process of being destroyed have got adequate escape routes. Kinei lo yavobim komas hamushavim. Foxes will never enter heavily populated areas. Well, they do nowadays, but they never used to. Never used to because of the fear of human beings that live there. And therefore, Dima es Nevi'a Sheker, so God, so to speak, and the prophet likens the false prophets to foxes. Sheikonsu b'chorba shehem lo nichnosu b'Yisrael b'mei David u'Shlomo. In that they would enter areas where their words would not be challenged by gullible, foolish, and ignorant people. Like foxes who enter places where they know they can escape quickly from, places where they know they're not going to meet any danger. So false prophets, they don't debate intelligent people. They don't debate people that know what they're talking about. They want to debate people who are gullible, foolish, and ignorant. Shame lo nichnasu be Yisrael be made David u'Shlomo. These areas didn't exist in Israel during the times of David and Shlomo. Everybody knew what they were talking about. Everybody learned Torah. Everybody, when no one was deceived by false prophets in the time of David and Shlomo. But now, at this time in history, more than half the population were ignorant. They were pagans. They didn't know anything about Judaism. And they were very gullible to the words of false prophets. In those times, the times of David HaMelech and in Shlomo HaMelech, false prophets were absent from Israel, just like foxes will never enter inhabited areas. But once a divine decree of destruction had been delivered regarding Babylonian attack and the Babylonian destruction of Yerushalayim, once that had been put in place by the real prophets, Shetis Techore, that Jerusalem would be destroyed, Oz Komu Nevi'a Shekuvo. At that point, the dark prophecies of the true prophets created fertile ground for false prophets to come and deliver their false message of false hope and false optimism to the desperate, the gullible, and the ignorant Jews of Yerushalayim. He says, Upirshu Amafarship. And consequently, many commentators say, Haposik Zeh Keneged, Sorry Yisrael Gdolehem. Many commentators interpret this verse as a critique of the leaders, of the great men of Israel, Shehoyakoth B'yodom Limchos B'Nevi'im Ohem, who had the power to come out of their shell and face up to these false prophets and challenge the claims and of these false prophets with the truth. Below Olu, but also my process, but they failed, so to speak, to enter the breach. That's why the Navi uses the expression here in verse 5, lo alisem b'protzos. They didn't stand up to these foxes, these false prophets. As Shakespeare said, once more into the breach. Well, these true prophets, or these true, the people of Yerushalayim that knew something, that believed the real prophets, they didn't challenge, they didn't debate, they didn't take on the false prophets and prevent them, shelo yikonsu bikromim ul chaloson. They didn't come out and prevent them from delivering their destructive and false message to the Jews of Yerushalayim. You know, false prophets were giving them false prophecies of everything's going to be okay. And so you don't have to do teshuva or anything stupid like that. So, there was no one to challenge that message. Furthermore, even after the false prophets were allowed to deliver their false prophecies unchallenged, the leaders of Yerushalayim lo sigduru geder. They didn't even try to seal up the breach made by the false prophets, meaning they didn't encourage the Jews of Yerushalayim to do teshuva or to do any mitzvahs that might protect them, at least to some extent. As the apostle says, to stand up in the war when the Babylonians came to town. There was two failures here. Number one was the failure to challenge the words of the false prophets. And then afterwards, when the word was getting around that we don't have to worry, we don't have to do teshuva, so these Jews in Yerushalayim that knew the truth, they should have stood up then a second time and warned the people that what these false prophets were saying was nonsense. But Eino Nocha, he says, and that's the way most commentators understand this verse, that the critique here is of the tzaddikim, the righteous people that lived in Yerushalayim, even the prophets that lived in Yerushalayim, who failed to take on and debate the false prophets. He says that the Abarbanel says, but Eino Nocha Beinai. He says that this doesn't make any sense to me. Ki hanavim hoiso. He says this explanation that God here is critiquing the leaders and great men of Yerushalayim for not standing up to the false prophets is incorrect. The critique is against the false prophets themselves. Lo al asorim shalom michu biyodom. It's not against anybody in Yerushalayim who failed to challenge the words of these false prophets. Abul pirusho kach hu inei nevi'a sheker hayu minavim liyisrael shalom. This is the way to understand this verse. What God is saying here, God's critique is of the false prophets themselves. The false prophets predicted that Israel would remain at peace and secure. And just like Yechezkel will say in verse 13, which we'll get to eventually, Yan uve yan hitu es ami lemo shalom ve'en shalom. Indeed, the false prophets misled my people over and over again, saying there will be peace when there was no possibility of any peace. Ulachain, Kamisal, Omar Hanobi Alehim, consequently, Yechezkel berates the false prophets here as follows. Im Atom Menabit, he says to them, if you are so sure that in the end the peace of Yerushalayim will be maintained and the Jews will defeat the Babylonians, v'nitzochon Yisrael, and will be victory for Israel, lomo lo alisem baprutzos, then why is it? That's the words of this verse. Lomo lo alisem baprutzos. Why are you not fighting with the residents of the Yerushalayim to close the breaches that the Babylonians are making in the walls? Like, if you're so sure we're going to win, then the Babylonians are surrounding Yerushalayim, why aren't you helping out? Laval yikonsu o'ovim be'ir, to prevent the enemy from entering the city. And why are you not helping building new fences around the city to prevent the Babylonians from entering on the day that God brings war to Yerushalayim? Because if you false prophets are so sure that of the end result, of peace and victory for Israel, then it would be appropriate for you to take part in any potential battle with the Babylonians, knowing you would be contributing to a famous victory. But stand up and fight. By Yom Hashem, on this day of God, kiven sha'atem if you're so sure that it's all going to end in victory, where are you? Why aren't you joining the force? Why aren't you joining the army? Why aren't you joining those that you're speaking to who believe now that they're going to win this battle against the Babylonians? Where are you? You're running off. You're telling them that they're going to win, and in the meantime, you're making plans to escape. So he said that's the critique here. But of course, these false prophets, as the Abarbanel says, and many others say, these false prophets won't do that. They're not going to take they're prepared to give false prophecy, but they're not prepared to hang around and wait to see whether their false prophecy actually by chance turns out to be true. These false prophets won't do that because as we said in previous verses, they're sly and devious in the ruins. They don't enter an area looking for victims unless they already have made an escape route. And that's why they're compared to foxes, because these false prophets gave a message of hope and victory to the Jewish people. But of course, they knew their prophecy was false, and they'd made good their own escape routes, so that when the Babylonians conquer Jerusalem, as the true prophets predicted, these false prophets will be as far away from the trouble as possible, trying desperately to escape Jerusalem. And that's the message Yechezkel is giving. That's the message that God is giving. But unfortunately, the people of Yerushalayim would rather listen to false prophecy, which is optimistic, than to the dark words of the true prophets. That's just the nature of human beings. You want to believe that things are going to be all right in the end. I suppose we're all victims of that type of thinking. Just on the subject of that, just want to mention, if our mood isn't dark enough already, then everybody should read on this week's parasha, Parashas Bereishis, the Chofetz Chaim, what he writes in chapter 4, verse 4. Chapter 4 of Bereishis, verse 4, in the commentary of the Chofetz Chaim on the Torah. His commentary was written well over 100 years ago, and if you read it, you'll just see a man who's just got the gift of prophecy. He just describes the situation we find ourselves in. In any event, back to Yechezkel and verse 6. Now, what's going to happen next? A little bit more about the false prophets and God's indictment. There's an indictment. This is a whole legal process going to be going on here in chapter 13. And so we hear a little bit more about the false prophets, and then the indictment. God gives an indictment against them. He says in verse 6, Chozu shav, v'kosam zol, kozov, v'kesam zol, kozov. They prophesied nonsense and lied about their insights. Ha'omrim na'um Hashem, v'Hashem lo shlocho. These people, these false prophets claim that they're speaking the word of God, but lo shlocho, God didn't send them. V'yechalu l'kayim dovo. And they hoped that their words, their false prophecy would be fulfilled. I mean, they took a chance, right? They're lying, but they've still got a 50-50 chance of being right. So, it says v'yichalu l'kayim dovo, they hope that their words will be fulfilled. So what's interesting here is it says chozu shav v'kesem kozov. Now shav and kozov in English would be synonyms, false, but in Hebrew, as we actually know, we mentioned many times before, there are no synonyms or similes in Hebrew. Every word means something. Every word has got some conceptual idea behind it. And so we translate this language of chozu shav, v'kesem kozov, we translate it as they prophesied nonsense and lied about their insight. But the Malbim explains the difference between the word shav, which actually appears in the Torah, as like in the context of a false vow, and kozov, which generally speaking means a lie, which is very similar to a false vow. So the Malbim tells you the difference between these two words. Shav, the word shav, dovah she'ein b'mamish. Shav is something that is complete nonsense, just nonsense. You know, I had lunch on the moon yesterday with Mary Poppins. So that's shav. That's just complete nonsense. Kozov, dovah bilti miskayim. Well, kozov is something that might actually be rational, but is not a message that God gave to this individual and will never be actualized. It's an actual lie. It's what we would call a lie. In the context of prophecy, it's saying something that might appear to be rational, not like, you know, yesterday, you should know, yesterday I had lunch on the moon, you know, with whoever it is, with Mary Poppins. So everybody knows you're an idiot for saying that. That's nonsense. But if you actually say, that's shock. But if you actually say something that says a Malbim, if you actually say something that's rational, that people might, belief, something that's logical, that is, and it's actually not true, that's causal. That's the language of causal. So the Malbim says, so here you have two types of false prophecies from two types of false prophets. But God mentions a third type too. So you have the types of false prophets that speak shov, that you just can't believe what they're telling you because it just makes no, just it's incomprehensible what they're saying. The message is so beyond the pale that no one would believe it. Prophecy that's cause of is believable. We're going to win, and this is how we're going to do it, and God's going to bring a miracle just like he did in Jericho, and blah blah blah. So that's, people can be taken in by that. But says the Malbim, there's a third type. God mentions a third type as well, not just something a nonsensical false prophecy or a believable lying false prophecy. But he also describes something else as well. And this is very important, he says. He says, the verse says, Ha'omrim ne'um Hashem v'Hashem lo shlocho. There are people that claim this is the word of God, but God did not send them. Now, says the Malbim, this might refer to a prophet that is privy to real prophecy. Now, we know that if you say you've got three prophets or five prophets or 10 prophets in a generation, and God delivers a prophecy to one of them, they all receive it. Every single prophet receives it. But they know each of the prophets, say there's 10 prophets, each of the 10 prophets knows who the prophecy is aimed at. In other words, which of the 10 of them is the one that's supposed to deliver it? Now, what could be going on here, says the Malbim, there was some people who went off the rails in Yerushalayim. They were real prophets. They are speaking the actual words of God, but it was a prophecy that was supposed to be delivered by another prophet. And that's what it means by Hashem lo shlocham. God didn't send them. So they might be speaking. So you've got three types of false prophets here. One of them is just speaking just nonsense, and only really very gullible people could possibly be taken in by it. You've got people that are they're very clever, very, and the best lies are always based somewhere in truth. You just pervert the truth and make it rational, and people are prepared to believe it. But he says there's a third type of person here, prophets that have gone off the rails for whatever reason, and they're privy to prophecy, and God didn't send them to deliver that message. And he says, in respect to each of these three types of false prophets, says the Malbim, that punishment is the same. And this is the commentary, this is the Pasuk, it's Rashi's commentary in Devarim, in chapter 18, where the Torah is discussing false prophets. And this is in Devarim chapter 18, verse 20. Rashi comments over there, the Torah says that a prophet, and it describes him as a prophet, who deliberately says something in my name, says God, I never told him to say it. That doesn't mean it wasn't a good prophecy. It's just I didn't tell him to prophet. To prophesy this prophecy. It was somebody else's job, maybe in another time. That type of prophet, that third type of prophet, is sentenced to death, as well as the other two. Those who speak falsely, who speak shov, who speak nonsense, and also those that make it up, but their language is kozel, their language is believable. So Rashi says, that types one and two, false prophets that speak, one either they're speaking nonsense or they're speaking something that's believable. Misosan bidei, they're executed by a Beis Din, hamisnabi, because they never heard anything. They're executed by a Beis Din. But the third type, a prophet who is a real prophet, and he's privy to prophecy, and he delivers prophecy that he is not supposed to deliver. That prophet is not killed by a Beis Din, for obvious reasons, because he can't be killed by a Beis Din because he's a proper prophet, and the prophecy actually is true. And so he can't be executed by a Beis Din. He is executed bidei shamayim. It's a capital offense, but God will deal with him. And God finishes off this sentence for Yechalu Lekayim Dovo. These false prophets, these three groups of false prophets, they hoped and believed that their words, their false prophecy would be fulfilled. Now, the word Yechalu can be understood in two ways here. Either an expression of hope, you have false prophets, and it's like before the game, right? So you're on the pundits, and the pundit, the guy introducing the show, he says to you, what do you think the score's going to be today? So the pundit says, I think it's going to be, 3-0 or 5-1 or whatever you think the score is. And then you hope that you get it right, right? So you got false prophets, and they hope they're going to get it right. There are other false prophets that don't just hope, they actually believe. They've taught themselves into believing that they are prophets. The Malbim says here, some of these false prophets knew that what they were saying was made up in their own imagination. These people just hoped that what they were predicting would come true. They hope. We're going to win. So they got a 50-50 chance. You're either going to win or you're going to lose. So, they're playing the odds. They're 50-50. He says, but some of these false prophets convinced themselves that they actually had received a valid prophecy. These people actually believed that they were predicting what they predicting would come true. So this is the indictment against these groups of false prophets. That's the indictment. That's what they're doing. These are the three groups. And now comes God's verdict. As the trial goes on, the evidence has been collected. We're not privy to the court case because the court case is in Shomayim. But God's verdict is coming up now. Somebody making a. How do your comments apply to two persons who were prophesying in the camp and Moshe allowed it? Yeah, it's a good question. So it could be that at the time Eldad and Medad, you're talking about. Who writes that? David Barrett, you're talking about Eldad and Medad.
Yeah.
So it could be, according to some authorities, they had the right to prophesy. And they were given prophecy and they were allowed to express it. Others, well, they were, in the end, they were punished for what they did. But it's an interesting observation. And I don't think there's any simple answer to it, to be honest. It's a good question. It's a good question. Sometimes my rabbi used to say, for Nakashas Statmanish, nobody ever died because it was a good question. I think that's a good question. I don't speak much Yiddish, but I like that expression. For Nakashas Statmanish, no one died because they had a good question. So it's a good question. Okay. Back to the text. So here comes God with the verdict. What's going to be with these false prophets? So God says, hello. Mechazashov, Chazisem, Umixem Kozov, Amartem, Va'omrim, Ne'um Hashem, Va'anilo Dibarati. Consequently, God says, this is a verdict. You prophesied nonsense and lied about your insights. Yet some of you still say, this is the word of God. And yet I have not spoken, says God. That's my verdict. Guilty on all counts. God's verdict is guilty on all counts. You're guilty of trying to convince the people of something that was blatant nonsense. You are guilty of trying to convince people of something that may have appeared to be rational and may appear to have been real prophecy when it is in fact the product of your own imagination. And some of you are guilty of saying over prophecy that was real, but it wasn't your job to deliver that prophecy. So everybody's guilty. All these, but Anilo Dibarati, God says. These are all things I never said. In all these instances, I never said them at all, or I never said them to you. In addition, to the guilty verdicts about these three groups of false prophets, so the Malbim says a fourth guilty verdict here. He says the language of God here at the end of this verse, Va'ani lo dibarati. He says, Va'ani lo dibarati mosif al lo shlocho. So in verse 6, in the previous verse, God mentions real prophets that delivered prophecies that were supposed to be conveyed by other prophets. It says by them, it says, lo shlochom. I didn't send them. Their prophecies were right, but I never sent them. They weren't sent. These particular individuals were not sent to deliver these prophecies. He says, mosif al lo shlochom. But here in this verse, God describes qualified prophets who thus had some type of credibility, who conveyed prophecies that God did not reveal to any prophet at all. As Yirmiyahu says, he says, Kamasha Kosov Yirmiyah, Yo lo shilachti es anavim v'heim rotzu, lo dibarati aleihem v'heim nibol. Right? Yirmiyahu describes different types of false prophets as well. There are some qualified prophets whom I did not send to deliver a particular message, yet they ran to convey it before the message was aimed at could do so. And there are some qualified prophets I didn't speak to at all, and yet they prophesied anyway, a message that I asher lo dibarati, something that I never said. So here the Malbim says they have a fourth group, but to put things into perspective, Yerushalayim was full of these guys. I mean, if anyone's been to Hyde Park Corner on a Sunday afternoon, they'll know what I'm talking about here. You've got all these guys standing on little standing on there. What they called Harvey? What do they stand on there at Hyde Park Corner? Soap boxes, standing on their soap boxes. Prophesying the future, repent, yes. The end of the world is nigh, all this type of nonsense. And there's people actually standing there, idiots, people wasting time standing there listening to the nonsense. Anyone seen The Life of Brian? Similarly, they've got a skit on that. They take great pleasure in showing how gullible people can be, with a whole array of these types of people on soapboxes prophesying the future, and people standing around listening, you know, rationalizing that maybe what they're saying is true. So these are the groups of people that were running around Yerushalayim. Some of them were doing it for money. It could be some of the people were doing it to try and create an atmosphere of optimism. At the end of the day, all these people, all these false prophets, whether they're Shov, whether they're speaking nonsense, whether they are Kozov, whether they're just blatant liars, or whether they're actual prophets that have gone off the rails, as we discussed in the previous year, whatever it is, the indictment's been brought down, the verdict has been delivered, all these individuals are guilty, and now, after the indictment and the verdict, comes the sentencing. In verse 8, we have God sentencing these false prophets. Lochay, Koma Hashem Elokim, therefore says God, Yan, Daberchem Shov, V'chazisem Chozov, since you spoke nonsense and prophesied things that were not true, lies, Lochein Hinani Aleichem, Na'om Hashem Elokim. Therefore says God, a bit, seems to be a bit weak. God says, Aleichem, I'm against you, says God. So this is the introduction to the sentencing, but it seems a bit weak. God says, I'm against you guys. In what way is he against them? So Malbim describes God's introduction here to the sentencing. He says there's various issues to deal with here. He says, Lochein Yeomar Shemagia Lahem Onish Kofel. God says that the false prophets deserve to be punished twice, two punishments. Kofel. Alma Shinovu Kazer B'Shem Hashem, Shigamim lo hoyu mechatim esa'om b'nevo'osom halo novi ha'shekem isosu b'chene. For what such a person would prophesy in the name of God, even if they did not succeed in misleading the people with their prophecy. In other words, even if the people were not taken in by the nonsense that they prophesied, nevertheless, a person like that is still considered to be a false prophet who should be executed via chenek. As he says, misoso b'chenek. A false prophet who prophesies nonsense, even though it could be that no one believes a word he says, he's still chayav misa, and he's still sentenced to be killed by a beis din via chenek, which is strangulation. Secondly, says the Malbim, al mashim adabrehim matim esa on midake Hashem. And number two, for prophecies that were believable and actually led the people astray from the ways of God, utechila yagid onshom al nevoas hasheker v'zeshe omer yama dibarchim shav v'chazisem kozov hinenei aleichem kizeh hanoga lechvodi. He says both groups are equally guilty. And he says, as the Malbim says now, and now God begins to describe the punishment of these false prophets by saying, Yan dibarachem shav, since you spoke nonsense, v'chazisem kozov, and you prophesied something either outright lie or something that shouldn't have been delivered by you, or something that you made up, kizan hanoga lechvodi. Says God, I am against you. Meaning, what does he mean, I am against you? Says Malbim, all this punishment coming your way is for infringing on my honor, my reputation. On the one hand, you're leading my people astray. You're choti umachti asarabim. You're sinning, but it's one thing sinning for yourself. You know, you go into a room, in your private room, and you get on your thing and you order a cheeseburger and you have it delivered to, you know, to the garage, and you eat a cheeseburger in private. No one knows about it apart from you and God. So you've done a sin. So, okay. So we all sin. That isn't to say we should eat trafe, but we all sin. It's another thing completely, not only to sin yourself, but to cause other people to sin as well. So that's two. Choti, to sin, umachti esarabim, and causing other people to sin as well. But there's a third thing going on here, says the Malbim. The third thing is when somebody is a prophet and they deliver a false prophecy, they're speaking for God. And this says, he says, kizeh hanogeya lechvodi, God says, this infringes on my own. You're taking me on now. So he says, get ready, because this is the sentence. In verse 9, the actual sentence with the verse 8 is the end of the mitigation, or the negative mitigation. Now, the actual sentence itself. This is the sentence of the false prophets of Jerusalem. V'hoiso yodi al anavim hachozim shov, v'hakosmim kozov, besod ami. And my hand will be against the prophets who prophesy nonsense and prophesy lies. Number one, besod ami lo yiyu. Number one, they will not be in the secret council of my people, whatever that means. Number two, uvichtav beis Yisrael lo yikosevu. And they will not be written in the register of the house of Israel. Be'el admas Yisrael lo yavo. And number three, and to the land of Israel they will not come. V'datam ki ani Hashem Elokim. And they will know, and you will know, that I am God. So there's three punishments here. I'll read them to you again. They seem very oblique, very obtuse, very nebulous, very vague. And we'll have to see what they are. So number one is, besod ami lo yihyu. They will not be in the secret, besod, in the secret council of my people. Number two, uvichsav beis Yisrael lo yikosevu, and they will not be written in the register of the house of Israel. And ve'el admas Yisrael lo yavo, and they will not come to the land of Israel. And then everybody will know that I am God. So the three punishments. So, what are these three punishments? So this is, what are these punishments? Let's start with the Gemara. An interesting Gemara in Brochus, right at the start of Brochus on Daf Hey, on page five. And the way the Malbim understands the Gemara. So they will look at the Gemara first, and then we'll discuss the Malbim, and then we'll discuss exactly what these three punishments are, or our first understanding of what these three punishments are. There's plenty of, as you can imagine, the words of the verse are quite nebulous in the sense that they're not, it doesn't say you're going to be killed and executed and et cetera, et cetera. The words are very, seem to be very obscure. So we'll have to deal with that. So here we are. The Gemara first. Tanya, the Gemara says, this is in Brochus Daf Hey on page five. Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Yochai Omer, said in the name of Reb Shimon ben Yochai, Shalosh Matonos Tovos Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael. God gave Israel three precious gifts. V'chulon lo nosnon ella al yidei yisurin. That's the good, that's the bright side, that God gave Israel three precious gifts. The dark side is, v'chulon lo nosnon ella al yidei yisurin. All of these three gifts were given to the Jews by means of suffering, which purified Israel so that they may merit to receive them. What are these three gifts? Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. Those are the three gifts. But all three are acquired through suffering. You acquire Torah through suffering. You acquire the land of Israel through suffering, something we can really appreciate at the moment. And you acquire the world to come through suffering. These are the words of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. So the Malbim says as follows. You understand the way he understands this Gemara, and the way he ties it in to our verse here with these false prophets. So the Malbim says like this: Choshek, Gimel Onshin. God dishes out three punishments to the false prophets, and then mirroring the three gifts given to the Jewish people, as outlined in the Gemara in Brochus that we've just read. He said, firstly, God says in this verse, Besod Ami Lo Yiyu. God says that these false prophets, Besod Ami Lo Yiyu, they will not be in the secret council of my people. Says the Malbim, they'll lose their connection to and understanding of the Torah and its holiness, and lose their holiness as Jews. They will be denied access to the whole of the Torah, to the paradise, to the pshat, to the remez, to the drush, and crucially to the sod. The sods are the secrets of the Torah, which is why the language of our verse uses besod ami lo yiyu. They'll never be able to get to any depth in Torah. All their Torah will be taken away from them. And that is a hallmark of being considered God's people. In other words, they, through the generations, their descendants will be completely disconnected from Torah, and their bloodline, says the Malbim, their bloodlines in Judaism will be cut off. That's what it means, besod ami lo yiyu, that the three gifts that God gave to the Jewish people, Torah, they're going to lose Torah, because by three generations, four generations, after these false prophets, their bloodline isn't even going to be Jewish anymore. He says, number two, the pasuk says, God tells them, ubich ubichsav beis Yisrael lo yikosevu, that in the annals of the Jewish people, they will not be written. Shelo yiyeh lohem chelet olam haba. The book that he's talking about here, the book that they're not going to be inscribed in, is the book of people that we've got to share in the world to come. Shezeh nimlatz b'divrei hanaviim b'ksiva k'ma shekosov kol hakosov l'chaim b'Yerushalayim. That there's a promise of eternal life to the Jews, And as it says in Yeshayahu, Kol HaKosav L'Chaim, V'Yikosev Sefer Zikaron L'Fonai L'Yirei Hashem, that the eternal life is given to those that fear God or in awe of God. V'Hoyu Li Omar Hashem Tzavakos L'Yom Hashani Oseh Segula, the Pasuk in Malachi, that these people, these false prophets, the second prize, the second gift that was given to the Jewish people, that Malvin describes here, is the world to come. And they will be denied in the place in the world to come, which is Ubichsav Beis Yisrael Lo Yikosevu. In that book, the book of the people that are heading for the world to come, they will be denied a place in that book, and they'll be denied a place in the world to come. And as the Malbim says, this is midah keneged midah. This is measure for measure, because the prophecies of the world to come were outlined by true prophets of Israel. And it's those true prophecies that these false prophets perverted, as Yeshayahu, Daniel, and Malachi, amongst others, outlined in their visions and promises of the world to come, which we just described, Kol HaKosav L'Chaim B'Yerushalayim. That's from Yeshayahu, and Kol HaKosav L'Chaim is from Daniel, and V'Yikosev Sefer Zikaron Lefonav L'Yirei Hashem, which is a passage from Malachi. All those prophets predicted that the Jewish people, they're written not only the Jewish people, but this is talking about the Jewish people. They Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelel Olam Haba. Everybody's got a place in the world to come. There's a book, and they're not going to be written in this book. So they've lost their Jewishness. In other words, their bloodline, their Jewish bloodline will be cut off. They'll be separated from Torah, which was the first gift. They won't get Olam Haba, which was the second gift from the Gemara in Brochus. And thirdly, says the Malbim, Val Admas Yisrael lo yavo, shelo yilayim chelik ba'aretz. And thirdly, these false prophets will be denied access to the land of Israel, either in this era, when the Jews will return. This is the time of the destruction of the first temple. These false prophets will be denied access to the land of Israel, either in this era, when Jews return from Babylon after 70 years of exile, or at the end of days, when the ingathering of the exile will take place. Any false prophets from that era also will be denied access to the land of Israel. And v'hu neged ma she'omar gimel matonas tovas nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Torah v'Eretz Yisrael v'Olam HaBa. He says, and these three punishments, that their bloodlines will be cut off, and so they'll be separated from the Torah. The number two is that they'll be denied, either them or their future reincarnates of false prophets in the future, they'll be denied the right to return to the land of Israel, and they'll also be denied the Olam Haba. Those are the three gifts that were given to the Jewish people, and they'll be denied all three gifts. That's their curse. That's their punishment. She'eretz Yisrael, he says the Malbim. Now he tells you why these three punishments are paralleled by these three gifts that were given to the Jewish people that we discussed in the Gemara in Brochus. He says, "She'eretz Yisrael b'lasakin chayei haguf." The land of Israel, when you are resident there, listen to what the Malbim says here. This is unlike him, a little bit Kabbalistic. He says, "She'eretz Yisrael b'lasakin chayei haguf." The land of Israel, which when you are resident there, corrects and purifies the physical body. The false prophets are denied access to Eretz Yisrael because their actions and their words were a major contributing factor to the Jews of Yehuda and the Jews of Yerushalayim being expelled from the land of Israel. Because of their words being a contributing factor, they're denied access to the land of Israel. And the world to come, which is the second gift, says the Malbim, but Olam Haba al Chayei HaNefesh. The world to come is the purification of the soul. The false prophets are denied the world to come because their actions and words encourage the Jews of Yehuda and you shall aim to continue acting in a way that denied them the world to come, most notably by continuing their worship of Avodah Zarah. They said, carry on. Nothing's going to happen to you. You might as well carry on worshipping your idols. Now, you worshipping idols means you lose your Olam Haba. So it's appropriate that they should lose their Olam Haba because their words were contributory factors to other Jews losing their Olam Haba. He says, and finally, the Torah, the third gift that the Jewish people got, the light, he says, that integrates the physical body and the spiritual soul into one perfect unit is the Torah. The Torah is what drives the physical body and the spiritual soul into working together. You a soul can't do mitzvahs, right? A physical body can do mitzvahs, but it doesn't get the reward for those mitzvahs. You don't schar b'chai al-malek. There's no reward in this world for mitzvahs. So you've got two diametrically opposed items, oil and water, mixing together, and they form the light that perfects a human being, the physical body and the spiritual soul, which is one is represented by the land of Israel, which is the physical representation where you can do the most mitzvahs, the world to come, which is the place of souls, and the Torah is the light that integrates the physical body, represented by the land of Israel, and the spiritual soul, which is represented by the world to come, and it forms it into one perfect unit. The false prophets are denied access to the Torah because their actions and their words encourage Jews, discourage Jews to return to their roots and observe the Torah. So we have this three gifts that were given to the Jewish people, and the three gifts that were given to the Jewish people, they are going to be removed from these false prophets for reasons of Midah Keneged Midah. They're going to be cut off from the Jewish people. They're going to be cut off from the Torah. They'll have no descendants that will be Jewish. They themselves will have no world to come. And they themselves will not be allowed to return from Babylon. And a warning to any future false prophets is that at the end of days, they won't be allowed to return to the land of Israel. They'll be denied the right to return to the land of Israel. Now, there's just one thing. So that's the way the Malbim understands this pasuk and the punishment that's being dished out to the false prophets. It's an overall dismissal of them, not only in the physical world, because their bloodline will be wiped out in the physical world, their spiritual line will be wiped out in the world to come, in the spiritual world, and also they won't even be represented as a group in the land of Israel, either at the return from exile or at the end of days. All these people will be cut off, and cut off physically, cut off spiritually, cut off totally. So those are the three gifts that the Jewish people were given, and all those three gifts will be removed from these false prophets. Now, the thing that we have to really concentrate on here, after we've understood this Malbim, it's not the only way to understand this pasuk. Please God, next week we'll have an alternate view of it. But what's interesting is that going back to the Gemara itself. If you go back to the Gemara, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that the three gifts that God gave to the Jewish people were the gifts of the Torah, the land of Israel, and the world to come. But he said something very strange. He says they have to be acquired through suffering. Now, why does it have to be acquired through suffering? Why you don't? It's not normal. It's not normal for someone to give you a gift and you say, you know, here, I've got a gift for you. You know, I bought you a watch, but in order to get the watch, I want to put my cigarette out on your arm. That you got to suffer first. You got to, you know, I've got to. I want to set fire to your eyebrows first, and then I'll give you the gold watch. That's not the way you give a gift. Why is it that if you give a gift, so give a gift? Be magnanimous, as Churchill said. Be magnanimous in defeat. Be modest in victory and be magnanimous in victory and modest. No, what was it? Magnanimous in defeat and modest in victory. Well, you give a gift to somebody, just give it, you know, with good grace. Why does Rav Shimon Bar Yochai say that God, you know, begrudgingly gives the Jewish people three gifts? He gives them the Torah, he gives them Eretz Yisrael, and he gives them the world to come. But if they really want it, they got to suffer for it. So it's very strange. That's not the way you give a gift. A gift al Tanai. So it's very strange. So this is the kasha of the Ben Yoyada. And it's very apposite, actually, very apposite, and very appropriate to the situation we find ourselves in. I want to do justice to this Ben Yoyada. He's speaking 150 years ago, 130, 40 years ago. So I want to do justice to what he's got to say here. So we'll discuss this next week. But the idea that you get a gift from God that you have to suffer for. He says this is very, very strange. These are his words, is how he starts off his piece. It's a long piece. So I'll next week, please God, I will paraphrase it for you in English. He says it seems very strange that God would give gifts to his people, but create a situation where they get the gift, but they got to suffer for it. You know, I'm going to pay you. I'm going to give you your birthday gift. You know, but you got to spend 2 hours in freezing cold water first until you get hypothermia. So yeah, it's not a gift. So. He deals with this issue and why it's got to be, why it has to be that these particular gifts, the Torah, the land of Israel, and the world to come, have to be acquired through suffering. So that's what we'll do next week. And we'll also have a re-examination of false prophets, or the punishment of false prophets. And anyone that doesn't think there are false prophets in our generation is deluding themselves. There's plenty of those. There's plenty of those in the land of Israel as well. There are people that go around telling you why the Holocaust happened, right? And these people are false prophets. They're deluding themselves. They're deluding others. They're convincing other people of nonsense. And these are false prophets. How do you comment apply? Harvey. War resolution, in war resolution, in defeat defiance, in victory magnanimity, in peace goodwill. Yeah, good old Winston. He knew how to write a speech. Okay, so that's where we are. We're in the middle of this verse, this verse 9, which is the actual sentence that's been passed by God, by the Yeshiva Shalmala, by the based in Shalmala, on the false prophets. It's not just false prophets in his generation, in the generation of Yechezkel. This is the suffering, this is the punishment of all false prophets. And we'll have to see what what we'll see is this, the three gifts that they're going to be denied that were given to the Jewish people. Why the Jewish people have to acquire them through suffering. That's something we'll discuss next week. And we'll also get an alternative view of what these punishments actually are from another perspective. So until then, I wish you all a good week. It's a shame we had a smaller crowd, but what we lost in quantity, we made up in quality. Marvin Pack is here, all the top guys. Churn is here. How's your husband, Churner?
The same.
We wish him a refuah shleima from all of us. Ralphie's here, keeping quiet. Harvey Farber, thank God, kept quiet during this year. I wish you all a good week. It should be a better week. We should have a better Shabbos than last Shabbos. And Kodesh Baruch Hashem Yerachem. Hashem should have mercy on all of us. Have a great week. And Kol Tov to everybody. Thanks for listening. Kol Tov.
Thank you.
Kol Tov.